what has happened down here is the winds have changed. Clouds rolling from the north, and it started to rain. It rained real hard, and it rained for a real long time. 6 feet of water in the streets of Evangeline.
Aaron Neville doing Randy Newman's Louisiana, 1927, a song that had renewed interest after the floodgates opened 2 weeks ago today. After Hurricane Katrina and the levees broke there, we've heard some amazing stories from down there, and I think we have another one for you here today. The guy who's on the phone with me is named Victor Adams, who lived in New Orleans, worked in New Orleans, and now has decided to start a new life here in the St. Louis area. Welcome to KMOX, Victor.
Hi, how you doing, Bob?
I'm doing okay. You actually worked for the city of New Orleans in the courthouse down there?
No, I worked for the parish of Jefferson and Gretna, which is, we're on the west bank of the city of New Orleans, directly across the river.
Okay, was your home flooded out?
Yes, it was. My home was flooded out. I actually had the worst for me was a big oak tree down the center of my house.
You stayed through the storm, though, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I was part of the emergency management team, the disaster team that we were supposed to clean up after everything was done, kind of get life back to normal, which I don't think life down there is ever going to be back to normal. Things were just a lot more than people anticipated.
At what point did you know this is out of control and I got to leave?
Well, I tell you, I stayed for the first 4 days, 4.5 days of everything. I think the point that made me realize it when I was in the emergency management building, they locked us down. As people were riding towards the building, they were shooting at the facility we were in, and I just, you know, I was happened to be on the phone with my wife at the time, and she said, you know, there's nothing in the world worth you losing your life, no job, you need to get out of New Orleans.
Why were they shooting at the building you were in? First of all, what building were you in, and secondly, why were they shooting at it?
Well, to tell you the truth, I really don't know why they were shooting at it. I mean, people were, all we were trying to do was supply food and water and, you know, in support of the cleanup effort. And why they were shooting, I guess no one will ever know that. I know someone at the time hijacked a bus, so that was going on outside. They loaded their family, got in a bus by gunpoint, and drove it out, I think, to Houston. It was the last word I had gotten. And maybe that was it. They just wanted to get out. They were coming from the East Bank of New Orleans, trying to get into Jefferson Parish, which we were as devastated as New Orleans, just not with as much flood water. Only half of the flood water affected us, whereas New Orleans was 70% or 80% of it was in underwater at one point.
Now Gretna is just over the bridge from New Orleans, and there were reports that there were a lot of people from New Orleans who wanted to leave the convention center and other areas of downtown and cross over that bridge and come over to you guys in Jefferson Parish, but that they were turned back by the police on that bridge. Do you know anything about that? And if so, what was the story?
Well, what happened, we had already had an influx of our own people trying to get out. There were so many people coming over at one time, and we had no place to go with them, no place to house them, because we were in as bad a shape as New Orleans. And it wasn't that we were turning them away. It was that a lot of the element that was coming over were really violent. They were out of control. Matter of fact, the Oakwood Shopping Center, which is a huge mall, was set on fire by that was the West Bank's premier mall, was set on fire by that very group. So I guess the parish officials had to make a tough choice. I mean, you know, we gave them water, we gave them food, we gave them what we had left in the parish, but we could do no more.
There's been a lot of question about who's to blame, and a lot of people on every side are saying, well, you know what, there'll be time to play, quote, the blame game, unquote, later on. You were in the midst of this. From your perspective, what went wrong?
Well, I think it was a full collapse of everybody. It started off, I guess, in the local governments. You know, communication broke down because we lost all communication. So that was the first problem. And the second problem, the state government had to give the authorization for the federal government to move in. And I think there was just a little bit of politicking going on, and I just think it took too long for everybody to make decisions. Things should have just flowed along. The relief from the federal government should have come in. Everybody needs to move together at a time of disaster. We can move and help people in Iraq, but our own people, we have to make decisions that just shouldn't be made. I mean, it should have already been made, I should say.
As someone who was part of the local emergency management effort there for 4.5 days after the storm, do you feel that the feds let you down?
Yes, I do. I do feel the feds did let us down, from the sense that they could have immediately taken control. And I understand the president can't just arbitrarily take control away from the governor, but he could have, instead of taking controls, just sent the relief through. Said, okay, I'm going to allow the relief to flow. Let's just get what we need to get to whomever we need to get it. That way we get who needs to get out, and we get the proper people that we need to bring in disaster-wise to manage the whole area, putting it back together in.
I'm talking with Victor Adams, who worked in New Orleans and was part of the local emergency management effort on the Jefferson Parish side of things, on the Gretna, Louisiana side of the bridge, just over the other side of the bridge from New Orleans, who has now moved with his family to St. Louis. How did you guys get out of there?
Well, the day prior to the storm, I decided, after reading everything that we were getting across from the weather center, that it would probably be prudent to get my family out. So I just packed them up. We took with what we thought we would need to survive for about 4 to 5 days, and I sent them on out. They ended up at a friend's house in Arkansas, and then from there, they rode the storm out. I was actually in the storm.
Yeah, you were in the midst of it, and when you finally had to go out, you knew that they were in Arkansas, but you still had to get out of there, and everything was underwater. So how did you manage that?
The Route 90, Highway 90, towards Texas was clear. So that was the only way in or out.
And so that's the way you went.
Yeah, I took Highway 90 to 49 and 49 on up to, I think I ended up on 55, as I recall. It's so, my days are so, and streets are so messed up.
I understand. But you eventually worked your way up Interstate 55 to come up here to St. Louis. Is your whole family together now?
Yes, my whole family's together. My wife's mother and father are with us. We're all here at St. Louis, staying at a friend's house, the Enersons.
What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to try to find a job here. I was a stationary engineer for Jefferson Parish for 14 years. I'm sure someone will need a stationary engineer here or something.
So you have no plans to go back there?
I don't think. I think this was the hurricane that changed my mind. Now, I've heard talk, a lot of talk and speculation about them whether they should rebuild the city or not. I think it would be a disaster not to rebuild the city of New Orleans. It's just too much history, too much going on there. But I just think the emergency management, the emergency preparedness for the city needs to be stepped up a little bit.
Things need to be ramped up big time if they're going to rebuild it, because if they just go back and say, okay, we're going to be below sea level again, and yeah, we'll leave the levees the way they were, and we'll just hope there's not another Katrina down the line, that's not the way to work.
Well, the sad part about the levees is the levees play two parts. The levee doesn't only keep the water out, but it also keeps the water in. You would have to blow all the levees down, because the water does get below the city line. I mean, it's below sea level, but not that much below that the water wouldn't recede. And if the levees weren't there, in some places the water would have already gotten out.
Yep. They are continuing to pump it. I heard this morning that they've got one of the big pumps. It's not dry yet. They still have to dry it out, but it's not underwater anymore, and they hope in the next few days they'll be able to do that. And they're actually saying that instead of 80 or 90 days, they might have it in 35 or 37 days, where they've got all the water out of the city of New Orleans, and then they can start the rebuilding process. Or I guess at that point, they're not even thinking about rebuilding. They've got to figure out what's damaged and what's not. What about your home? I mean, here's a place that you've lived in for quite a while and been paying a mortgage on. Is it a complete loss to you?
No, it's not a complete loss. I think that we can go in. It's going to take a good bit of rebuilding. I'm going to go ahead and rebuild it and then put it up for sale.
And start your new life here. Are the kids in school?
Yes, we have the kids in school. One of them's attending Westminster, and the other one is attending Kirk of the Hills.
And do you have a place to live yet?
Nope, don't have a place to live. We're trying to find something, but the housing in St. Louis is tough.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, the folks at Catholic Charities and St. Patrick's Center and United Way have put together all sorts of efforts to help out folks like you. We just did a big drive. I don't know if you heard about it last Friday, where we had all sorts of people from all over KMOX land donating household goods and remarkable outpouring of sympathy for people in your situation.
Well, you know, and I want to say that, too, to all the people of St. Louis, that they have just outstretched their arms so much, especially for me and my family, and I don't know about all the others, but it seems like everybody's getting the same attention, that they've just done so much that I've never met a kinder people in any area to just open their homes up and open their pockets to help out. It's just incredible.
Well,
they should pat themselves on the back for the job they're doing. I'd like to pat them and thank them all.
Well, your thanks have just been heard by tens of thousands of people, so your word is getting out, and we're all glad that you and your family are safe, and we wish you luck starting your new life here in our area. Thanks, Victor.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Victor Adams, survivor of Hurricane Katrina, here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.